From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with an episode of Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as newspaper reporter Randy Stone, who covered the Nightbeat for a fictional Chicago paper. This broadcast, episode 99 in the series, first aired on June 26th of 1952 on NBC. The Reformer.
NBC presents, transcribed, Frank Lovejoy in Nightbeat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Nightbeat for the Chicago Star. If you've ever come to doubt the power of the people to change something they don't like, if you've ever said to yourself, things aren't going so well, but there's nothing I can do about it, then let me tell you the story of a farming man from Hudson, Illinois, who blew into town one evening, mobilized a force of Chicago citizenry, and fought the king of corruption as no one else has ever done, under the banner of love. I was people-browsing in the Illinois Central Depot at the tip of Roosevelt Road one evening. I checked the Traveler's Aid Bureau for a possible story lead, but nothing had presented itself. I was about to say goodbye when a loose-jointed, long-faced traveler ambled in, closed the door softly, and gently placed his cardboard suitcase on the floor and looked over the counter at Miss Holstead. She asked him if she could help him. He looked at her a moment, scratched his stubble chin pensively, smacked his lips, and began.
Well, I was kind of wondering.
Yes?
Where's the hotel?
There's a number of them, sir. May I give you a list of them?
How much is it?
No charge. Here you are.
See, that's mighty kind. Lots of them. I ain't got too much cash on me.
Well, we can't recommend any one hotel in particular.
Miss Holstead, maybe I...
Oh, this is Mr. Stone. He's with the Chicago Star. Perhaps he can help you. Just call if you want me, sir.
Oh, it ain't too important, Mr. Stone. I can stay any place. I stay a lot of places. I wouldn't bed down a hog.
Would you prefer someplace in the Loop?
What's the Loop?
Downtown, the Civic Center.
My name's Benjamin Joseph Tusher. I'm from Hudson, Illinois. I'm not very versified in how this here place is laid out. I come here only for a couple of days. My wife didn't come with me.
Business?
Yeah, kinda, might say.
Do you mind if I ask what sort of business? I'm a newspaper reporter. I sometimes ask personal questions. I hope you don't resent...
Reformer.
I beg your pardon?
Reformer.
Oh.
I heard about the crime you people got up here. I'm a reformer by trade. I thought I'd try to clean things up.
Crime?
Crime, yeah. Counterfeit, larceny. I'm a specialist in all of them.
Single-handed?
My uncle was Ned Kensing.
Uh-huh.
You heard of him?
Well, the name's familiar.
Cleaned up the West. Sheriff 10 counties. Taught me everything I know... Loop?
Yeah.
That ought to be all right. Let's get a room in the Loop.
Benjamin Joseph Tusher, reformer by trade from Hudson, Illinois, took a room in a small, inexpensive hotel on Van Buren Street. He tested the bed, he opened the window, and the dirt blew in. He didn't say anything for a few minutes. I didn't know it at the time, but he was listening for the elevator to go by again.
What do they call it?
Elevated.
Goes on all night like that?
I'm afraid so, but for the price you want to pay.
Same train?
Hmm?
Every time that thing goes by, sounds like the same train. Couldn't be the same train.
No.
Not a dirt in the air.
Well, in this section...
I better close the window, else I'll have to take another bath. Well, I guess I better go right to work.
Oh, it's 2 a.m, Ben. Why don't you get some sleep, and then tomorrow morning...
Crime goes on most at night.
That's true, but...
Corruption breeds in darkness. I gotta go right to work. Where's the main tavern and dance hall?
Well, there's the pump room of the Ambassador East.
Let's go.
You can't go in without a tie.
Got one right here. String type. My wife made me take it.
Ben, look. Chicago needs cleaning up, all right, but it's more than a one-man job.
My uncle was Ned Kensing.
Nevertheless...
He had a formula that never failed.
What is that?
Love.
Love?
Love. Love corruption right out of this town. Just the way Uncle Ned did.
Ben, where are you going?
I'm out to find me the nest of crime, and when I do, I'm gonna love it to death.
I finally convinced Ben to go to sleep and begin his campaign the next day. I finished my appointed rounds, wrote my story, went home and slept. Next afternoon, I went over to Ben's hotel. Ben was getting dressed, and on the bed was a pile of pamphlets.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. What's the pamphlets?
Take one. They're free.
Love Against Corruption.
That's the name of the party.
Join with us in our crusade to cleanse this metropolis of crime and vagrancy.
That's our platform. Copied word for word from Uncle Ned's pamphlet, 1897.
No dues, no button, no name, no pin. Just say I'm with you, we take you in.
I'm going out to Union Square. Somebody told me that would be a good place to start.
Where'd you get these pamphlets printed?
Recruited up a printer in the organization, among others. It's been a lively morning. Come in.
Here are some more pamphlets, Mr. Tusher. Right off the press.
Thanks, Miss Jewel. This is Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
How do you do?
Welcome to the party, Mr. Stone.
Oh, thank you.
I also called John Lahr, just as you said to do. He's a difficult man to reach.
John Lahr?
You've heard of him, of course.
Ben, what's the matter with you? You're trying to commit suicide? Fun is fun, but John Lahr...
Don't you worry, Mr. Stone. Mr. Stone's a worrier, Miss Jewel.
Oh,
Lahr is the number one boy, Ben.
I know it.
He runs organized crime in Chicago.
I know it.
Oh, Ben, don't be crazy. You'll get yourself killed. Lahr doesn't fuss around.
Mr. Stone, I learned a lot of things today. One of them is, the law ain't been able to tag Mr. Lahr with a thing. That's how clever he's been. The other is that everybody's scared to death of John Lahr, and nobody's gone after him. Our political party means to attack him with love. Right, Miss Jewel?
Attack with love. That's right, Mr. Tusher.
Sing, Miss Jewel.
Well, I'm not a very good singer.
Go on, I want Mr. Stone to hear it. Mr. Stone, this is our campaign song.
Love corruption out of town with Tusher, Tusher. Love corruption out of town, the Benny Tusher way.
I wrote it myself.
Gone to work all night, gone to work all day. We'll love corruption out of town, the Benny Tusher way.
That's very nice.
Well, have we got an appointment to see John Lahr, Miss Jewel?
I just couldn't, Mr. Tusher.
I see. Well, I guess we've got to go without an appointment.
Oh, now, Ben, come on. Now, listen to me. Sing your song, give out your pamphlets, but please, don't kid around with John Lahr, please.
I'm the natural leader of a great and growing political party, Mr. Stone. Our battle is with Mr. Lahr. He's the boss of the other side. You with us or against us?
With us or against us, Mr. Stone.
Ben.
You for corruption?
Well, no, but...
Then you're with us.
Love corruption out of town, the Tusher, Tusher. Love corruption out of town, the Benny Tusher way.
Ben Tusher was a changed man. He'd been suddenly transformed from a humble farmer to the leader of his own political party, and his big guns of love were aimed at the emperor of Chicago crime. The three of us started for John Lahr's Gold Coast penthouse. I did my best to talk Ben out of his visit, but my voice was lost under the words of his fight song. We made it to the right floor without mishap, but at the entrance to the Lahr apartment, we were met by 6.5 feet of muscle in gray double-breasted.
What can I do for you?
I'm Benjamin Joseph Tusher, Hudson, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
This is Miss Ernestine Jewell.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Randy Stone.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to see Mr. Lahr, please.
Uh-uh.
On business.
On your way.
We represent the Love Against Corruption Party. I'm campaign chairman.
Go elsewhere.
Come on, Ben. You heard the man.
Please, Mr. Stone. Here, my friend. A pamphlet.
Keep it. Now scram. No solicitors. Can't you read the signs?
Ben, I think he means it. Discretion is the better part of valor.
I think we ought to sing our way in.
Oh, no.
Wonderful idea.
Love corruption out of town, the Tusher, Tusher. Love corruption out of town, the Benny Tusher way. Gone to work all night, gone to work all day. Love corruption out of town, the Benny Tusher way.
What is this? Ed, what's the idea? Nuts, folks. Absolutely crazy. A bunch of idiots.
Well,
give them a dollar and send them away. Here's a dollar. Now get out of here or I'll call the police.
Ben, come on, Ben.
Mr. Stone, please. Let go. Mr. Lahr?
Yes?
I'm Ben Tusher. This is Miss Ernestine Jewel. This is Mr. Randy Stone.
Fine.
This is your first warning, Mr. Lahr.
What did you say?
I am the leader of a great and growing party fighting against corruption. That means you, Mr. Lahr. I'll put it this way. Either leave town voluntarily or we'll drive you out of town with love.
Love.
Now, boss.
Yeah, must have escaped from somewhere.
Now?
Now, gently, Eddie. They may mean votes.
Right.
Ben, let's go. Come on.
Out.
Oh, keep your hands
out!
A great and growing party, Mr. Lars.
Ben, come on.
Let go.
Hands off, big stuff. He's not that young anymore.
Okay. See? No hands. Now, before I beat all your heads in, blow.
Had Mr. Lahr not been a gentleman gangster, we might have been treated a mite rougher. As it was, Ben Tush's collar was only slightly mangled and Miss Jewel wasn't touched at all. Ben was undaunted. From Mr. Lahr's apartment, we followed our leader to Union Square. Ben climbed aboard a bench, put his pamphlets beside him, and started to assail the park obituaries with samples of old-fashioned oratory. He began with the best of gimmicks, the giveaway.
It's free, it's free, everything is free, it's free.
Free, hey, free.
Come on and get it, it's free.
Miss Jewel, get out of the way, you'll get crushed in the rush.
Isn't he wonderful?
I didn't know he had it in him.
Get them before they're all gone. Limited supply, they're free.
They don't even know what he's giving away.
They don't care, it's free.
Get them now, here they are. Fine. Now, in exchange for the gift, just a second of your time. Turn the page to the inside. Describes our political party. We're against corruption. So are you. Naturally, we see eye to eye.
Is what?
Corruption. We're going to drive it out of town.
You and who else?
Me and you.
What with? Pamphlets?
Pamphlets and love.
Love it out of town?
Love corruption out of town. That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to get banners, and we're going to sing songs, and we're going to march on old John Lahr, who's been running things here too long as it is.
Hey, boy!
Yes, sir.
Up with you, buddy.
How many others?
Go on, Mr. Stone. Give him support.
I'm strictly an observer, Miss Jewel.
I thought you worked for us.
Well, oh, I am.
I will, ma'am. I'm with you, mister. I'm with you.
That's fine. What we need is to sing our song and get everybody in the against corruption mood. Page 13, everybody.
Yes, page 13. Love corruption out of town. Tusher. Love corruption out of town. Billy Tusher way. Gone to work all night. Gone to work all day. We love corruption out of town. Billy Tusher way.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. The old song says, keep the home fires burning. And unfortunately, the home fires do keep burning. 340,000 homes are destroyed by fire in this country every year, with a loss of 11,000 lives and hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet, a simple, regular check through your home for possible causes of fire will eliminate the possibility of a costly and tragic blaze. Now, there are five simple rules for protecting your home against fire. 1, don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes carelessly. 2, clean out old rags, papers, and other inflammable debris. 3, repair or replace defective electric wiring or equipment promptly. 4, use non-inflammable cleaning fluids. And 5, keep matches in a safe place and out of the reach of small children. These simple rules are almost 100% protection against fire. Follow them in your home. Keep the home fires out. Don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you. And now, back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
It's difficult to explain the rapid growth of Ben Tusher's Love Against Corruption campaign. Every time Ben Tusher spoke, he evoked more laughter than friends. And yet, by the end of a month, Ben boasted a political party of 2,300, plus countless donors of a dime or more to the party coffers. Major political organizations made bids at coalition, but Ben would have none of them. Perhaps the party's growth was due to the state of corruption. Perhaps it was the people's constant desire for crusade. But my guess is a large part was due to the dynamic personality of Ben himself. He began to branch out. Love Against Corruption headquarters blossomed in all parts of the city. Ben left the Van Buren Street Hotel and moved to nicer quarters deeper in the loop. Since Love Against Corruption was news, the star printed story and pictures. Ben was delighted.
Just look here, Mr. Stone. Letters from all over the city just because of that newspaper article you wrote. Mr. Stone, I sure appreciate your help.
Well, I've got to be honest, Ben. I didn't write it to help. Your party is big news.
Well, be that as it was, it sure got the right results. Hey, the parade's today. Look at here at these banners.
The Love Against Corruption Party. Love corruption out, vote the party in.
Yeah. Ain't that sign a pretty shade of blue, though?
Yeah, it sure is. But I just don't get it, Ben.
What's that?
Well, the love angle. We love John Lahr.
Can't say we hate him. That's slander.
No, but still...
Can't say he's a criminal. No proof.
I guess so.
Got to publicize his name so people know him for what he is.
So you say you love him?
Everybody knows we don't mean it. That's where the love angle comes in.
That's logical.
Parade's gonna be a dilly.
Oh, Lahr isn't gonna like this. Why don't you just mention that you're against corruption? No need to be specific. After all, without proof...
Great and growing party, Mr. Stone. Grab a sign.
No, thanks. I'll watch.
Oh, I understand, Mr. Stone. The paper.
Yeah, that's right. Now, about Lahr...
Don't you worry, Mr. Stone.
Oh, Ben, don't antagonize him. There are other ways. The law will get him eventually. Income tax, maybe. Why stick your neck out?
Mr. Stone, you don't sound much like a fighter.
Well, the odds are 1,000 to 1, Ben.
Not if you know how to use love.
Oh, Ben.
Don't, Mr. Stone. Don't sell that technique down the river.
Well, how are you going to do it?
Poor Mr. Lahr. I sure do pity him. He's never seen love work before. Hey, it's 2:00. We gotta march. Where's my white hat?
Was broken up by the police before they got a block. And the reason was simple. No permit. Ben admitted he'd overlooked one small detail, but that disappointment didn't bother him long. His party workers with their blue ribbons and white hats took their banners and spread themselves over the city until there was hardly a block that didn't have a Love Against Corruption or marching down the walk. That night, Ben, Miss Jewel, and I had dinner in Ben's room. Miss Jewel had added a verse to the old gray mare.
My pitch pipe, I put it somewhere. Now where... Oh, here we are right around my neck. Isn't that silly? Old John Lahr, he ain't what he used to be. Ain't what he used to be. Ain't what he used to be. Old John Lahr, he ain't what he used to be in good old Chicago.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Miss Jewel. Just great. Got the common touch. What do you think, Mr. Stone?
Expressive.
Probably the waiter. Always rush in to take away the tray. I ain't finished yet. Come on in. Listen, we ain't finished yet. Mr. Lahr.
I hope we're not disturbing your meal, Mr. Tusher.
Not at all. Come on in.
Come on in, boys.
I'm afraid we don't have too many chairs in here. Some of you'll have to sit on the bed.
You can sit on the bed, boys.
Kind of late for you to be out, isn't it, Lahr?
I keep funny hours, Mr. Stone. Mr. Tusher, I came here to talk a little sense. That parade today, those people with banners blacking my name up around town. You know the penalty for inciting to riot? You know what slander means?
It wasn't a riot and it wasn't slander. All we said was, we love you.
That's very funny.
Come on, Lahr, what's your pitch?
You ought to know better than to get mixed up in this kind of phony routine, Stone. I don't think the Chicago Star would like it.
I'm a traveling correspondent with the outfit.
I'm glad you came, Mr. Lahr. It's time for the second warning.
It is, huh?
Yes, sir. Out of town in 10 days.
10 days? Well, that's very generous of you.
Because unless you are, you're going to be loved out of town.
Loved out of town?
That's right, sir. Loved out of town.
You're asking for plenty, Tusher.
Plenty of what?
They're liable to find a couple of bodies around that weren't around before.
When Lahr made a threat, implied or otherwise, it usually could be taken seriously. I begged Ben to take it easy, but Lahr's visit only made him angrier. The next night, Ben gathered his forces before him in a rented auditorium and gave them the pitch.
Quiet, please. Last night, John Lahr threatened me with my life. Now, I would like to remind you of a law. That law states that every citizen can make an arrest. This is going to be our answer to his threats. We're going to watch Mr. Law night and day. We're going to become students of every law, city, state, or federal, that applies to Chicago. We're going to arrest Mr. Law every time he breaks one of them. And with our phone calls and telegrams and love letters, we're going to tie up his lines of communications just like they do to the enemies in wartime. For your specific duties, see your precinct captains. They'll tell you your hours and what your work is going to be. Now, just remember... Ladies and gentlemen, I...
The shot had come from somewhere in the crowd. Ben slumped forward over the podium. I rushed over and put him on the floor. The place became bedlam. Police rush in and herded the audience out into the street. When the ambulance came, the doctor said the bullet was lodged in Ben's right shoulder. That was a lucky break for Ben. In a couple of days, I went to see him at the hospital. He was pale, but the old spirit was still there.
Just missed the lung, the doctor said.
Ben, you're going to get yourself killed.
You can't kill 10,000 people. The campaign's been going great ever since that meeting. We've already arrested Lahr 3 times.
You what?
Sure. Once for throwing away a gum wrapper. Once for speeding. He was going 26 in a 25-mile zone. The police have been wonderful. They're just waiting for us to really get something on him. But the thing that's killing Lahr is love.
Love, hmm?
We do everything with love. When we send letters, it's with love. We send telegrams, it's with love. We call on the phone, it's with love. When we arrest him and take him down the station, we keep telling him how much we love him. What time is it?
It's about 3:30.
See, you're in luck.
Yeah?
He leaves his office at 4. Gives you a half hour to get down there and watch the way the campaign's working.
That's a good idea. I want to see John Lahr anyhow. I'll see you later, Ben.
Okay, Mr. Stone. Maybe you'll be in time for a citizen's arrest.
John Lahr's office, respectfully titled the Lahr Securities and Investment Corporation, was located on the 38th floor of one of LaSalle Street's taller buildings. Love against corruptioners were everywhere. Riding the elevator, standing outside with banners, across the street opposite Lahr's office windows in a rented suite of rooms with loudspeakers blaring out their love. I went inside the office. Ed, the top strong arm, met me as I came in.
Hold it, Stone.
Oh, hi, Eddie. How are things?
Go back to your friends.
That's no way to talk, Eddie. I came in for an interview. I'm purely a neutral observer. I'd like to get both sides.
Sorry, the boss is all tied up.
Okay, can't say I didn't try.
Eddie, where are those aspirin I told you to... Stone, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Well, come on in here. I want to talk to you.
Sure. Excuse me, Eddie.
Neutral observer, my eye.
Come on in, Stone. I'm glad you got here. And sit down.
Thanks.
I've been trying to reach you for days. Listen, you seem to have some influence with this maniac. I'm desperate.
Because of a few love letters? I'd be ashamed, Lahr.
Yeah, the doctor says much more of this, and I might not last out the year. It's my heart. That noise is driving me crazy.
Well, maybe a change of climate.
Yeah, they say. It's only a beginning.
There's a law against threatening phone calls.
Oh, if they'd only threaten me, but they don't. They just call me to tell me how much they love me. It's driving me crazy.
To say nothing of the telegrams.
Easter telegrams, Christmas telegrams, happy birthday, pleasant 25th wedding anniversary. All my boys are so busy sorting the telegrams in the mail, they haven't done a lick of work for days.
And the arrests?
I step off the curb. They arrest me for jaywalking. Stone, you've got to get rid of him.
Well, I'm afraid there's not much even he can do at this point, Lahr. It's gotten out of hand.
Yes, you're probably right.
I sympathize with you.
I've beaten back the biggest gangs in the country. Gun battles, 15 men to one. The police never touched me. But this, I don't know how to fight it, Stone. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Doctor says maybe a vacation.
Hey, now there's an idea.
Boss, it happened.
What? What's the matter?
Krautfein spilled the beans.
What?
Yeah, the whole works.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
How did it happen?
Well, he couldn't help it, boss. It was the third degree. They gave him the third degree.
Who, the cops?
No, the women.
The women?
Yeah, he was coming home from the office, just walking along, and then it happened. It was horrible. They got him up against a wall, and then they started at him, closing in on him. Big women, small women, long women, short women. They were singing, shouting, fat women, ugly women. They loved it out of him, everything. They loved every bit of information out of him. I don't blame him, boss. He couldn't help it. It could have happened to any one of us.
Oh, no.
Boss, we got to clear out. Now, lock, stock...
And barrel?
Right. Come on, boss.
Well, don't just sit there, Stone.
Tell you what I'll do, Lar.
What?
I'll help you pack. The last time I saw Mr. John Lar, he was sneaking aboard an eastbound plane. He had a one-way ticket. It's difficult to describe the way Mr. Lar looked that evening. After a month of letters of love, telegrams of love, serenades of love, Chicago's underworld king was a shadow of his former self. He was pale, his face was drawn, and there were deep black circles about his eyes. His whole body was racked with a small trembling. I returned to the hospital bed and reported the news to Ben Tusher.
You let him get away?
They'll pick him up, Ben.
Where'd he go? I gotta find out. I gotta go there and...
That's what you think.
Sweetie!
Don't you sweetie me, you old fool.
Now, sweetie, I didn't mean...
Running away from home like that, leaving me without a word, getting tied up with these city dudes.
City dudes? This ain't no city dude. This Randy Stone, he's with
Stone,
the...
Stone, eh? You just listen here, Stone. Ben's a good man. Don't you try getting him tied up with the rest of you gangsters up here.
Now, Mrs. Tusher...
Look at them eyes. I can tell just looking at you what kind of a man you are. Slick. Wouldn't trust you worth a penny.
Oh, please, sweetie.
Now, you get yourself out of that bed and put some clothes on. You're coming home. No more falderall. Can't let you out of my sight a second. I knew you'd meet up with these kind of people up here in the big city, getting lots of trouble. What you been doing? Reforming again?
So Ben Tusher's left town, hauled home by the ear. As for big tough John Lar, when he and his boys landed in Albany, a branch of Love Against Corruption sang him right into the arms of the local police. So here's to the reformer. Maybe he doesn't wear a white hat and sport a blue banner. Maybe he's just the guy down the block who's found something he doesn't like and he wants to do something about it. Let's put it this way. The strength of a democracy might well be measured by the number of people working to keep it alive. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's transcribed story was written by David Ellis, with music by Robert Armbruster. The part of Ben Tusher was played by Ed Begley. Others featured were Betty Moran, Jeanette Nolan, Paul Fries, and Bill Conrad. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1919. We'll conclude the hour with an episode of The Hoagie Carmichael Show, starring singer, songwriter, composer, author, and actor Hoagland Howard Carmichael. Hoagie Carmichael contributed hundreds of songs to the Great American Songbook in the mid-20th century, including Stardust and The Nearness of You. In the mid-40s, he had a radio show on NBC. This broadcast is from August 5th of 1946. The first song, Give Me the Simple Life.
Duchess Salad Dressing is made the way famous chefs make salad dressing. From Hollywood, Duchess Salad Dressing, featured at all Safeway stores, presents The Hoagie Carmichael Show,
with radio's newest and youngest band, the Teenagers. A great new singing group, the Starlighters. And introducing as the something new tonight, our new musical game, The Song and the Jury. But first, here is the man who wrote the greatest popular song of all time, the composer of Stardust, Hoagie Carmichael.
Oh, I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life. Now some like a pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after. Not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with laughter, with the ones you love inside. Now some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeed, give me the simple life. Living, I find, is best when your mind is keen as a carving knife. I'm crazy about sleeping, can't do without sleeping. Give me the simple life. Now, I'd love to whistle and sing out a whistle, a tune on a 10-cent pipe. I don't aim to worry or hustle or hurry, so give me the simple life. I greet the dawn when I awaken, and the sky is clear up above. I like my scrambled egg and bacon, served by the one I love. Now life can be thrilling with one who's willing to be a farmer's wife. Kids calling me pappy will make me happy, so give me the simple life. Hello, everybody. This is Hoagie Carmichael saying, how do you do, and ready to deliver something new from Duchess to you. Now, have you ever wondered where the new songs come from, how your favorite song happened to become a hit? Well, it was no accident. Behind the top songs are a group of super salesmen called the Music Men. These are the men who contact the band leaders, the movie producers, the radio stars, in order that the new songs will get their chance to be heard by you. So tonight, we're giving these salesmen of song their chance on the air as we present The Song and the Jury. And here now is our attorney for the public defense, Ted Myers.
Well, folks, our newest Duchess feature, The Song and the Jury, works like this. A jury of 12 has been selected from our studio audience to represent you, the public. Tonight, you'll hear three great new songs. And from three of the most famous music houses in America, three well-known music men to tell you in their own words why they think their songs will be tomorrow's hits. And the jury will render a verdict in favor of the one they like best. So, may the best song win as we call our first witness for the song and the jury, Mr. Eddie McHarg of Robin's Music.
Swell to have you with us, Eddie. You know, we'd all like to know what hit tunes your firm have been responsible for.
Well, Hoagie, Robin's Music has gone over the top with such favorites as Laura, I'm Always Chasing Rainbows, Deep Purple, and Here Comes Heaven Again.
Ah, some songs.
Yes, sir, and you should have heard the music they made on our cash register.
Oh, I love that tinkle of silver. Well, Eddie, how do you go about billing a song into a hit?
Well, Hoagie, I depend on my friends. I know the trade, they know me.
I'm told that you once were in the band business.
Oh, yes, I was a band manager for years. I managed Duke Ellington, Claude Hopkins, Glenn Gray, and others. Also, I've known most of radio's singing stars since the day when they first started.
Uh-huh. So those people take your word on a song?
Yes, sir, because I always try to give an artist the right song, especially singers.
Well, how's that?
Well, Hoagie, selling a new song is like selling a new suit. It's got to fit the person who buys it.
Yeah. Nothing looks worse than a torch singer with a ballad down around her ankles.
You said it, Hoagie. Why, in this business, Hoagie, you're only as good as your song.
Well, Eddie, you've got a chance now to sell your newest song to the jury, so I turn you over to our attorney for the public defense, Ted Myers.
Mr. McHarg, what song do you submit to our jury?
Well, Ted, it's a great new song called Love on a Greyhound Bus, and we're really going to town on it. We're putting ads in 28 national magazines. We'll have 10,000 posters in bus station lobbies, and even jukeboxes will be playing the number in bus depots while you're trying to buy a ticket.
It sounds like you're blowing your own horn, man.
You said it, Hoagie, and I'm proud of it. Love on a Greyhound bus is dynamite. The way it's catching on, Greyhound will have to issue marriage licenses to every passenger.
Mr. McHarg, your enthusiasm is overwhelming. You've made a good case for your song, and we hope Love on a Greyhound Bus takes off on a cross-country run to success. Now, here are the Starlighters, Hollywood's great new singing combo, to submit your song to the jury.
Bought a ticket the other night. The Union Station was lit up bright. The crowd was shoving with all its might. But we all settled down for a trip on a Greyhound bus.
That's us.
Heading west on a Greyhound bus. The Holland Tunnel was open wide. We rode along underneath the tide. Found ourselves on the Jersey side. What a glorious time for a trip on a Greyhound bus.
No fuss.
Heading west on a Greyhound bus.
Stop for hot dogs and soda pop.
Soon the sun disappeared from view. The stars came out like they always do. Then I cuddled up close to you. And we both fell in love on a trip on a Greyhound bus.
That's us.
In love on a Greyhound bus. Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. On to Wheeling, West Virginia, then to Columbus, Ohio,
and Indianapolis, Indiana.
Then we had a slight delay, mistook Illinois for Iowa. Stop for hot dogs and soda pop. Oh, driver, driver, don't ever make another stop. A Texas storm made us hesitate. A bridge washed out and we had to wait.
We'd be happy in any state.
On a bus.
No, bus.
On a bus. Happy in love on a Greyhound bus.
And that's the first song tonight on The Song and the Jury. Now here's Ted Myers for Duchess.
Yes, it's true. There's nothing finer than a crisp, cool salad to spruce up lagging appetites at the end of a summer day, especially if your salad is topped with Duchess salad dressing. That's because Duchess makes any salad taste better. You see, Duchess is made the way famous chefs make salad dressing, expertly seasoned and skillfully blended. And Duchess is fresh, too. In fact, just 10.5 minutes after a batch of Duchess salad dressing is started, it goes into sparkling, clean jars, ready to be rushed to you. Duchess not only tastes fresh, it is fresh. Here's the perfect dressing for your perfect summer salads. Duchess salad dressing. Taste it for proof that Duchess is made the way famous chefs make salad dressing, expertly seasoned and skillfully blended. Try a jar of Duchess tomorrow. Duchess salad dressing is featured at all Safeway stores.
Now we call the next witness for the song and the jury, and he is Mr. Irving Weiss of Melrose Music. Hello, Hoagie. Hey, get this guy out of here. He's too handsome. You must be the Van Johnson in the music business, huh?
Oh, no, just one of the youngest in the business.
I see. When if I were your boss and I had a song I wanted to sell to the radio glamour girls, I'd turn it right over to you.
Well, that's just what he does. I've sort of specialized in the girl singers this summer.
Brother, what a summer specialty.
Just what do you do when you go out with a girl singer?
Oh, I take her out to dinner, buy her champagne. After that, we drive along the beach and park under the moon. Then I move a little closer to her, put my arm around her, and look deep into her eyes.
Yes, yes, go on.
And then I say, how about doing Cement Mixer next Thursday night on your program?
Oh, I'm glad you cleared that up. Say, I see a service button in your lapel, Irving. Where'd you serve?
With the 9th Air Force, Hoagie.
And when the war ended, you went back to the music business?
Yes, I did.
What about the first song you worked on when you got back? You know, I bet it was one of those dog tunes that nobody wants to sing. What was it?
Just Hoagie Carmichael's Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
Blow me down. Well, that'll teach me to keep my interviews very short.
All right, Irving, we're giving you a chance to put your newest song before our jury.
A pleasure. My song is the newest tune by Julie Stein and Sammy Kahn. It's called 5 Minutes More.
5 Minutes More. Well, how did they get the inspiration for that one?
Well, Sammy Kahn tells me that he got the title at a popular restaurant here in Hollywood. He took a girl to the place. They were starved. Also, they were anxious to sit down and hold hands. So while they stood there in line for hours and hours, the head waiter kept saying, just 5 minutes more.
Are you having any luck with the song when you call them the big stars and band leaders?
Yes, I have. They usually tell me to wait 5 minutes more.
You won't have to wait on us, Irving. I'm told Frank Sinatra, Kurt Massey, Phil Brito, the Three Sons, many others have already recorded it. So good luck as the Starlighters submit the song to the jury.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay,
let me stay in your arms.
Here am I begging for
only 5 minutes more,
only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday date.
Sunday morning, you can sleep late.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. 5 minutes more.
Thank you.
On with the song of the jury. Now meet the man who carries the word for M. Whitmark & Sons, one of America's largest purveyors of popular music, Bill Savage.
The winner.
Bill, welcome to the song of the jury.
Well, thanks, Hoagie.
Also meet our cross-examiner, Ted Myers. Huh?
Hello, Ted.
Mr. Savage, how did you happen to go in the music business?
With peanuts.
With peanuts? Well, that's a new one. What do peanuts have to do with music?
Well, you see, when I was 15, I had a concession to sell peanuts and candy in 3 theaters in Philadelphia.
Well, why'd you leave that business?
I got tired of working for peanuts. Besides, the more music I heard, the more I liked it.
But then you became manager of your brother, Jan Savage. Didn't he have a music publishing firm or something? Or were you just his band?
No, he had a Knoxville.
Oh, I see. Jan Savage's band, that's right.
And later I went into the music publishing business.
Well, now tell us a little bit about selling songs. For example, of all the band leaders, who do you find the toughest to interest in a song?
My brother.
I see. What has been your most unique experience in the music business?
You really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
The time I walked up to a band leader and said, I have a new tune I wish you'd play. You know what he said? Sure.
Well, I think we better hear about the song that Bill is going to present to the jury.
Huh? Right. Mr. Savage, have you a copy of this aforesaid ditty?
Well, I came unprepared, but just by accident, I believe I have one copy.
Get it up with... One copy, he says. You reach in his pocket, now the whole stage is covered with songs.
What is the song, Bill?
South America, take it away from the Broadway show... Call me Mister. So far, it's been recorded by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, Xavier Cugat and Buddy Clark, Betty Garrett, who does it in the show, Mel Torme, Mel Tones, and others.
And now, to let the public and the jury hear it and judge it, here are the Starlighters and the Teenagers with South America. Take it away.
Up here in the land of the hot dog stand, the atom bomb and the good humor man. We think our South American neighbors are grand. We love them to beat the band.
South America, Babaloo, Babaloo, aye, Babaloo. One favor you can do, aye, you can do.
You beautiful land. Plainly, I'm tired of shaking to that Pan-American plan.
Take back your samba, aye, your rumba, aye, your conga, aye, aye, aye. I can't keep moving, aye, my chappy, aye, any longer, aye, aye, aye.
Now maybe Latin's aye and their middles aye are built stronger, aye, aye, aye.
But all is taken to the quaking, and the making with the shaking leaves me aching. First you shake around and settle there. Then you shake around and settle here. Then you shake around and settle there. That's enough, take it back.
My spine's out of whack.
There's a strange click-clack in the back of my sacroiliac.
Aye, aye, aye.
Take back your conga, aye, ya samba, aye, ya rumba, aye, aye, aye. Why can't you send us aye, a less strenuous number? Aye, 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 aye.
I've got more bumps now, aye, than on a aye cucumber, aye, aye, aye.
While all those Latin drums are clopping like a jumping jack and hopping without stopping. So while I like neighborly relations, all these crazy new gyrations try my patience. I know the danger really lurking if my shoulders keep on working at this jerking. South America, take it away.
Thanks, Bill Savage of Whitmark, for the case you made for your song.
The next time your family calls for a summer salad, top it off with Duchess salad dressing, and you can expect cheers from round the table. That's because Duchess makes any salad taste better. Here's the reason why. Into Duchess go pure oils, fresh eggs, salt, sugar, and vinegar. But that's not all. These fine ingredients are then expertly seasoned and skillfully blended. just as famous chefs make salad dressing, to lift Duchess right up into the realm of food at its best. And here's something else just as important. When you buy a jar of Duchess, it's fresh. For 10.5 minutes after Duchess goes into the mixing bowls, it's sealed in sparkling, clean jars. Then rush direct to your neighborhood Safeway store. So remember these two facts. Duchess is fresh. Duchess is made the way famous chefs make salad dressing. Duchess salad dressing is featured at all Safeway stores.
Song of the jury. Have the witnesses any further to say? Mr. McCarg of Robin's Music.
Remember, jury, you'll save a lot of fuss if you vote for Love on a Greyhound Bus. Bought a ticket the other night. The Union Station was lit up bright.
Mr. Irving Weiss of Melrose Music.
I think the hour has come for 5 minutes more. Only 5 minutes more.
And Mr. Bill Savitt of Whitmark.
You'll find the song that's come to stay is South America, Take It Away. Holla.
We'll have tonight's decision in 3 minutes 25 seconds. So while the jury steps out to deliberate, here's Hoagie, the Teenagers, and a Carmichael croon. Get your kicks on Route 66.
If you plan to motor the way out west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis and Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Now don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66.
Cleveland, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is mighty pretty. You see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Now don't forget Winona and the Kingman, the Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tune? When you make that California trip, have your fun on Route 101. Things are fine on Route 99. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Ah, the jury's back in the box. Now, what will its verdict be? And which of tonight's three songs will be launched on its career as a hit? Now, see if your choice agrees with the jury's verdict.
The decision of the jury is South America, Take It Away.
There you have it, the jury's choice for this week's winner on The Song of the Jury. Now, to Bill Savitt, the man behind the song, for so ably presenting his song to the jury, a $100 United States bond. You, congratulations. To the other two music men whose songs also look like winners, each a Parker 51.
And to our 12 jurors, the usual juror's fee in cash, plus a collector's item, a record of Stardust autographed by Hoagy Carmichael.
Well, think of that.
Let's see if the nation's opinion backs up our jury. Watch for these three new songs on your radio, at your music stores, and when you're out dancing. And here's a bow to tonight's winner, South America, Take It Away.
Take back your summer, higher, higher, higher,
from Hollywood, Duchess Salad Dressing, featured at all Safeway stores, has presented the Hoagy Carmichael Show, featuring the song and the jury.
Until next Monday at 9, this is Hoagy Carmichael saying good night, and for good salad, use Duchess.
The Hoagy Carmichael Show was presented by Duchess Salad.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And that does it for this hour of the program. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.